Hi everyone, welcome to Journeys with PDA Coffee Chat podcast, where we seek connection, community, and co-regulation while discussing all things PDA. Hello everybody, and welcome to Journeys with PDA Coffee Chat podcast, where we seek connection, community, and co-regulation. In today's episode, which is episode 3, we're going to be chatting about the difference between pathological demand avoidance and autistic demand avoidance.
So,
are you ready to get started on all of this, Krissa?
Yes. I love this topic. It's one of my favorite topics because I feel like there's such a big difference in the two, and that it can be really hard to understand what constitutes pathological. And I think that there's also the misunderstanding that anytime an autistic person avoids something, anything, then it comes into PDA. And mm-hmm. So I love this subject. The other reason I love it is because I have two children. I have a daughter and I have a son. My daughter's 13, my son is 11. And both have been diagnosed as autistic. And my daughter has been identified as having the PDA profile. And so we live a very much PDA life. We are fully immersed in that. But what makes our family dynamic so interesting is that my son has a lot of avoidance. However, it's not pathological. And so I really get to live like that full mm-hmm. difference. And I get to see all the characteristics and how they play out and how they can play out different.
Mm-hmm. So what is the, for you and your family, and because I realize everybody's family is different. Can you kind of walk us through what your observations about, you know, both are? You know, like what does it look like with your son when it's just the autistic avoidance? And then what does it look like for your daughter where it is definitely in the pathological demand avoidance realm?
So there's some things that are similar, obviously, avoiding. And I would say to some extent, both come from a place of anxiety. And so in that way, they are similar. I can also see some similarities in avoidance techniques. And so that similarity, though, I feel like that part gets small, the similarities, and that's where you kind of start to see that difference. Some of the avoidance techniques, can be with both of them. My legs don't work. My feet are too tired. You know, something like that. I don't know how. I can't find whatever is needed. So if we need to leave, it can be, I can't find my shoes. You know, even though they're next to the door. And so I can see that in both. I will also see, I am a cat. Apparently both of my kids love cats, and both can become a cat. And, so if you're meowing, then you don't actually have to answer a question. If you just answer it in meows, or, if you're a cat, you know, a cat doesn't like water, so they can't shower. A cat doesn't take out the garbage. So, I have seen both of them do that. So, so some of those techniques can be really similar. Some of the things, I guess, that would make it really different is, one, that kind of like root cause or that motivation. And so with my son, who is autistic, his root cause of the avoidance, is often more so, like sensory. And so he may not put on his shoes, or maybe he can't find his shoes, or his shoelaces are knotted too tightly. So you're seeing that avoidance in maybe leaving the house because of a sensory. And it's the grocery store is too loud. It's too busy. It's too bright. It might be more of a sensory, like his shoes are too stiff. As a sensory perspective. And that could be why he's not able to put on his shoes or find his shoes. Often with him, it is more of like a general overwhelm, or what I would call low on spoons, because we love spoon theory and use that a lot. And so his avoidance may be coming from a place of low spoons. So that's going to be different than my daughter, who is her root of avoiding is because that inferno of anxiety burning in her in every single aspect. And so with her, she can't put on her shoes because she maybe doesn't have the autonomy or the control that she needs in the schedule, or she doesn't have autonomy in where we're going. And so hers is always a lack of autonomy. And then the other thing is my son is not always and continually avoidant. If it's something he's interested in, if it's something he likes, if he's maybe been well prepped on, what are like the steps? So executive functioning and the steps that it takes, for him, if he doesn't have all the steps, if he doesn't understand them, like he doesn't actually know what they are, then he will avoid the task. But if he were prepped ahead of time, so maybe he has a chart, maybe he has a list, maybe we just talk about it, then that's going to take away the avoidance. With my daughter, who is PDA, because it is pathological, even if I were to try to prep her in the steps, like I'm going to give her the whole steps, she is still going to avoid. Even if she has all the resources she needs because of that burning anxiety. And because going to the store, it's not just about, well, first you put on clothes, next you put on shoes, and then you get in the car and then you go. For her, she has all these other demands that are weighing her down. Like, it was a demand for her to go to sleep last night. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't sleep. It's a demand then to wake up. It is a demand to say good morning. It is a demand to eat. It is a demand to put on clothes. There's social expectations, which are a demand. What are the social expectations of wherever we're going? That is a demand. She is feeling that demand the night before. And so therefore is already in avoiding because of that perceived social demand that could be coming up. And so then she may implement the avoidance tactics of becoming a cat, because of the demands all around her. It's too many steps and too much of a demand to even think about getting out of bed. And then she's frozen in bed. And then where you see the biggest split in the two is if my son is actively in avoidance. He's avoiding, because maybe he's just not interested in what we're doing. Like it's not about Minecraft. He just does not care. Mm-hmm. And so he's not interested. He doesn't have the motivation. But with him, I can say, well, I'll bring you your shoes and I'll tie them for you. Mm-hmm. And I can talk him through this process of why we need to go, why we're going to do it. And I can also set in some accommodations for him, like, why don't you bring your iPod and listen to your headphones? And mm-hmm. So as we go through this process, he is going to, he's going to work with me. And he's going to be able to take steps to work through that avoidance and to be able to accomplish that thing. So the split then, when it is PDA, you don't work through the avoidance in that moment. I'm not going to like reason or explain to her why she should do it or why she should hurry or why should she comply to my schedule. Mm-hmm. That isn't going to work in her mind. It's just, she's already in fight or flight. She's already in a state of panic. And so I can't just say, well, you know, this is, an important, like birthday parties are important, that you're not going to reason through. And I'm not necessarily going to be like, you just have to get up and do it. Mm-hmm. You don't work through it that way. With PDA, you're like, you got to back up to last week. Work into that.
Yes. And I always look at, like, when you were saying it's, you know, adding that demand on top of an already overloaded fight or flight, fawn, freeze system, it's like, I always picture it as being like adding fuel to a forest fire.
Yes.
You know, their nervous system is already on fire. It's already, you know, and when you place a demand on top of all of that, it's like, it's so combustible. At least that's the way it looks like in our house. It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
The forest fire is such a good example, because with PDA, you are bringing gasoline to a forest fire when you say, I just need you to get your shoes on. I just need you to get in the car. Now, with autistic avoidance, you can bring a fire extinguisher and you can put that out. And that to me is where things split. And that's where I see the difference is I'm able to come and bring the fire extinguisher to my son. I can get him calmed. We can take steps, and he might not agree, but like he can take those steps to achieve whatever he was avoiding. Like you can work through that.
Those are his accommodations for going to be able to work through that demand. I think this is, at least, you know, in my experience and in my confusion when I was still trying to do the gold standard kind of supports for my son when we were just looking at autism, I think that's where we can really get in such a sticky situation, because it's like, okay, well, we know, you know, from the experts, and I'm doing the quotation marks experts for people who are just listening, can't see us, that, you know, a rigid schedule is what autistics need, and this is what autistics need, and this is what autistics need. And it's not so with PDA, because had I brought a fire extinguisher, I mean, and I did bring a fire extinguisher to the forest fire, it made everything worse. I might as well have just, you know, thrown the whole thing into the fire and watched the fire extinguisher explode.
But yes. Yet, yes.
You know, you keep wanting to go down the path of, well, this is what the experts say. And I mean, and my goodness, I have a degree in special education. You know, I spent a really long time in my professional career learning about this. I mean, like, you know, hey, my son's autistic. I can do this. I have books, I got this covered. No problem. Oh my goodness. No, because every book said you need a fire extinguisher. Instead of figuring out that it wasn't a fire extinguisher, I just kept going out and trying to buy more and different fire extinguishers.
Yes, exactly. You start, you try and use those techniques, like front loading. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, front loading is, like feeding the information ahead of time. It's like the planning and the, you know, the organizing
what
and
to
the
expect.
Explaining yeah. the what to mm-hmm. expect. So you do the front loading and you have the really nice visual chart, and you put together this really nice schedule, and you are consistent and you stick to it. Now, those are the type of things that help an autistic child have less avoidance, and they know what to predict. They know the system, and that can decrease their avoidance. And then when you get into an avoidance situation, it's easier to go, like, his socks are scratchy. Like, what, you know, so he wears his shoes without socks, right? So like you can like troubleshoot or problem solve typically and like work through it. But with PDA, if you bring that front loading and like front loading is incredibly delicate situation with PDA, because if you don't word it just right, and if you don't time it just right, it's like throwing fireworks into the forest fire. Like, you have just made it incredibly worse.
It's napalm. I mean,
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing that can make parenting a PDAer so frustrating, because the techniques and the tools that you're given literally make everything worse. And then you're stuck with this explosive child who is overwhelmed and distraught, and they're sad and they're continually blowing up, and you're like, I don't know why, because I'm doing all of the things. But it turns out that PDA, like, it has its own special, like, support, and it's
Absolutely. I always find it fascinating when, you know, you have such rich examples because of the neurodiversity in your household. I always, when you talk about the differences in your kiddos, I always learn something new. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times we talk about this, or how often the subject is broached, I always learn something new, and it's so incredibly helpful. Because my son's, he's an only, so I don't have that perspective of, like you do. So I really appreciate it when we get to talk about it. And again, I just learn something new every single time.
Yeah, it's a very interesting life that we live, because I sort of live constantly in a state of how do I support avoidance, but it's two different types of avoidance. Mm-hmm. I have to parent in completely opposite there's completely opposite techniques, tools, and supports. And so the way that I can support my son, and the way that I support his anxiety, the way I support his sensory overload, his low spoons, his avoidance, all of that, if I apply that to PDA, it doesn't work. And then the good news is, though, a lot of support techniques and tools that you can use to help a PDAer will actually help everyone. And that's one of the things that's really beautiful about when you completely flip your life upside down and you step into this PDA journey, when you tear up the manual and you're like, we are going off road and we're going to do this like completely different, those things and that approach is really great for my other child, and it is, and that stuff can be supportive. And so if you do have, more than one child and you're starting into this PDA life, and I call it the low demand lifestyle, because it's absolutely a lifestyle, you are going to be adapting everything and how you live. But when you go into that, it can support your other children and can help them as well. And so I've seen a lot of my low demand lifestyle when I'm supporting my daughter, and it kind of has to bleed into everything. It's also really supportive to my son and will naturally decrease a lot of his, avoidance. And so that part is really like, I love that. That's one of the great things.
And it's not even like, it's not even with our kids either. Like our children are, we recently had a mom report to us that, you know, they have been in the PDA journey for a couple of years as well. And she recently had to go and spend some time with her family, her parents who, you know, are aging and are in a mental decline. And, you know, one of the things that helped her was using a low demand approach with her parents to help smooth over the, you know, the,
like the transitions.
What word am I trying to find? The transitions for her parents, because, you know, when you have cognitive and mental decline, you get more agitated because, you know, there's parts of you that know you were able to do this and now you can't do this. And, you know, your body's not letting you do this. You can't. So having that low arousal, low demand approach, you know, helped her with her parents. So it's not just about kids. This is something that can be applied in all areas.
Absolutely. Yes.
Of your life, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Also engaging in this, you know, supporting of anxiety and being so mindful of the demands that I place on my daughter brought a new awareness of the demands that I placed on my son, but even further, the demands that I placed on myself. And and that is absolutely huge. And I think that's one of the pieces that make this whole PDA life turn to the positive is when I start to lower the demands that I put on myself. And, and then I'm starting to take control of my nervous system and my reactions. Mm-hmm. And, then I can be more calm. I can be more intentional. And that's how I'm going to support my daughter is I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to understand how my words and my phrasing impact her and can either ignite an avoidance or calm and bring it down. And so that's huge. And applying it to yourself and the entire family. One of the other major characteristics that I have to mention when we talk about PDA versus autistic avoidance, and honestly, you don't have to be autistic to have feelings of avoidance. Avoiding is so incredibly natural to every human. There are things every day in your life, no matter who you are, that you do not want to do. And, you know, sometimes it's like procrastination, straight up avoidance, you know, like whatever it is, like all humans do that. That is a human characteristic. We all have reasons to not want to do something. Whether it's sensory or anxiety, or you're just straight up tired or it's boring, like you're going to avoid. Then that's when you get into what's that root cause? And one of the really great examples, I think, that helps to explain like, what is autistic or just like human avoidance versus pathological? And that is when you take something that is fun or pleasant. And so one thing that sticks out so vivid in my mind is, when it would be summer and we would go to the swimming pool. Both of my children like to swim. They both like to go to the pool. And so when my daughter was young, you know, we're talking like 4 or 5, and I had no idea that she was autistic and I had no idea about PDA. And it would be like, well, let's go to the pool. And she would say, yes, I love to swim. And I would be like, fantastic. Put on your swimming suit. Like, here it is. And then I'd be like, now I'm going to go get your brother. And so I'd get in, you know, with him, and then I didn't know he was autistic either. And so then there would be sort of some avoidance. Now with him, it had to do with, fine motor skills and executive functioning, mm-hmm. and that literal challenge of putting on the swimsuit was hard. And so then, you know, I could help him put on the swimsuit and then he was happy and he was ready to go. And so then I would get back to my daughter and instead of wearing the swimsuit, she, you know, was wearing a costume and I would be like, why are you not like, don't you want to go swimming? And then she might have this huge, long, elaborate story and she'd want to tell me and I'd be like, we really need to get your swimsuit on. And so then, I don't like that swimsuit. I want a different swimsuit. And so maybe we dig up another.
And this is activity she wants to do. You already know she likes swimming.
Yes.
She enjoys swimming. She can swim.
Yes.
And this, still.
This is a preferred activity. And she possibly was the one who initiated it and said, mm-hmm. you know, can we go swimming tomorrow? And I was like, yes, okay. So tomorrow shows up and I'm like, this is like you planned the day and we're actually doing what you want. And now all of a sudden you won't do the one thing that has to happen so that we could do the thing that you want, you know? And, mm-hmm. and so maybe we finally get the swimsuit on and it very possibly took an hour and there was like a negotiation about snacks, you know, like she wouldn't put the swimsuit on unless, you know, I agreed to the special snacks. And I'm just like, why are we talking about snacks right now? Like, just put your swimsuit on and get in the car. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, let's just go. And you know, then finally we're like, all right, whatever snacks. And then she doesn't like the towel, so we have to go through like 80 towels. And then like, all right, let's get in the car because we were supposed to go an hour ago. And I like, then her shoes are gone and I was like, but they were on your feet like 2 minutes ago. And so you're seeing avoiding and avoiding and avoiding and avoiding. And as soon as you kind of negotiated and got something solved, then there's another avoidance that comes up. And this is something she wants. And it often would end up getting all the way to the car. We're in the car seat. I have brother buckled in and she's crying and screaming. And I'm like, what has happened? Like, what has gone awry? What this is, and this is what you wanted. You asked for this. And that is that pathological piece. And many, many, many times that's, and it would end in her crying and probably me crying And like going back into that, yeah, me crying and sweaty, and like going back into the house, and then she's disappointed and she's sad and always remorseful. And I'm sorry, mommy. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have an explanation of why it happened. I don't have an explanation. Now looking back, just the demands and the pressure of every single piece of her life made it overwhelming.
Yeah. And I used to think when we would be in a very similar situation with my son, I would think the amount of energy you are exerting not to do this. You could have done this 50 times.
Yes. Yes.
And that was my, you know, and I tend to be a very A-type person. And, you know, if I have a plan, I want to follow through. You know, it's just kind of like, this is what we said we were going to do. We need to do this, you know, because we said we were going to do this. People think we're going to do this. We have plans with people that we're going to do this.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then it was the same situation, you know, the same situation you were in. And I think what understanding how PDA works now, you know, I get it. And there might be people out there going, but if it's something they want to do, why are they avoiding doing that? And it's complex, but simple. Yes. At the same time, is because, you know, okay, so they are, what if they are able to do this today? What if she is able to go swimming today? And she can't do it tomorrow, but the expectation will be, history has shown that she was able to do it. So therefore she should be able to do it tomorrow. And that's simply not the case, because as we, you know, it's autism, PDA is a very dynamic and complex issue. And just because you can do something today, and you have that data that people love to, we need data, we've got data that shows, doesn't mean they're going to be able to do it tomorrow. And also, there's the expectation that if she has fun, you know, that it's an enjoyable thing, that the next time it should be enjoyable and fun, but what if it isn't?
Yes.
You know, what if there's something else in that, the anxiety is there and she doesn't have fun. So I'm just going to sabotage this.
Yes.
Because I know I can control the sabotage. I know I can control just staying at home.
Yes.
I can't control whether or not I'll be expected to do it again, or how I will feel when I'm doing it. And then will I be, you know, will my body accept being able to be happy and having fun the next time I try this?
Yes.
So it's simple, but yes, so incredibly complex. So incredibly complex.
Yes.
And sometimes the want to do something is so strong.
Ugh.
That the PDA has to have its say. And we always say, like, the automatic go-to response or answer to something will be no.
Yes.
PDA has to say no first. And then if the demand is less than what they are wanting to do, then sometimes they're able to overcome that no and be able to do what they want to do. The example we have in our house is, my son loves space. My husband built a huge SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket to go.
See? That is my dog.
That's your dog? That your little dog had a big dog bark.
Ridiculous.
That's okay. Well, yeah, like, we've never heard my dogs bark while we're doing this. So where was I? Oh, the rocket. And in one day, you know, my husband's like, hey, it's a beautiful day. Let's go. You know, we live next to two huge schools with huge fields, you know, open fields. Let's go launch the rocket. Now, this is something he built with his dad. This is something he loves. This is, his special interest. And immediately it was no. And my husband was like, and I'm just like, just give it a minute. Just let the idea be there for a little bit.
Yes, yep.
And just let the idea kind of settle. And then eventually he was like, I want to go and do this.
But I
So, you
need,
know, that the
you know,
but
he.
I the PDA.
Yes.
So I was recently speaking to a young PDA teen, and she had the most beautiful explanation and example. In her words were, no is in the front of my head, or no is in, I want to get this right, no is in the front of my brain, but yes is in the pit of my stomach.
Ah.
And I get goose pimples every time I think about that. You know, it's like how much energy does that take? You know, how much to know, to have that insight that, okay, no is going to be immediate, but in my gut, I know that there's a yes there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think about that all the time. The want is there. The want is there.
Yes, I
They
absolutely.
have to feel,
And yes.
they have to feel safe enough. They have and supported enough to over to get past that no, to get to the gut of the yes, to be able to achieve that yes, to be able to go for that, or at least, you know, attempt the yes and have it be okay if the yes is not, doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah,
And there's a
exactly.
lot, if you think about all the little steps and all the little things that it takes to get to that yes.
And that
So.
is that's so incredibly difficult for them because there's all the anxiety and the worry. And now that my daughter is older and we've been on this path for a while, she can now verbalize, I am frustrated because I want this. I want it and I can't. I can't get to it. And sometimes I can come alongside her and try to overcome that no to get to the yes. But a lot of the time, she can't get past that no, and she's frustrated, and it's heartbreaking for her, and she's disappointed, and for me, and so sometimes when you don't get past that no, all I can do is come and be sad with her. And give her that
And
compassion
empathize.
and empathize and understand how bad she wanted this thing. And it's that no in her brain completely stopping and shutting her down. And that's part of it. That's part of this PDA life as well, is I have to understand and accept that sometimes there's absolutely nothing to get past that no, and to share in her frustration, and it not be me frustrated with her because she didn't overcome, but we can be together in that frustration. And then that's also though in that compassion and in that gentleness of I will sit with you and cry with you. That's where trust grows. And then that's where you get to build that safety. so that the next time she feels more safe and overcoming the no can be more obtainable. And maybe next time you can overcome it and you can find solutions and accommodations that can help get, but we still see a lot of I want to, but I can't. I cannot do it. And it's in their brain. It's the way their yes. brain works and processes and is wired. And so, you know, coming back to that main topic, autistic avoidance, that avoidance isn't necessarily hardwired into their brain. And so overcoming a no is more obtainable. Like they have the steps or they
with,
could
with
be,
the proper support. With yes, the proper
they, with the support.
With the proper support.
And mm-hmm. that they can, yeah, you know, you can mm-hmm. help them work through that. And so those are some of those differences. And I think it really helps to give a picture of what it means to be pathological in your demand avoidance versus, mm-hmm. you know, I am struggling and I'm just naturally avoiding.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And it's such an important topic. It's such an important topic. And if for those of you who are listening or watching us, if you're kind of wondering like where maybe you or your child, you know, is falling, is this just avoidance? Is this pathological avoidance? There is an instrument called the EDAQ or the Extreme Demand Assessment Questionnaire. No, Extreme Demand Avoidance Questionnaire. And it's just a rating form that you can find it on the PDA Society website. You can find it on our website under resources. It's geared for ages 5 to 17. But it's a rating scale and it's very, they ask questions, demand avoidant questions. You rate them and there's like a little key at the bottom that kind of lets you know if your child scores, you know, within this and they're this age, it's possible. You know, it's by no means a diagnostic tool. However, it's one of the very, very few tools that are out there. So if you have any questions, you know, it might be a very good, hey, you know, kind of get it settled in your mind that, oh, well, maybe we're not looking at PDA. Maybe we're looking at something else. Or, hey, it's in black and white now. and it could be a very good conversation starter for to take to your child's practitioner or, you know, whomever might your child's school, you know, whatever professional who may need where you might just need some backup. That, you know, this is a thing. Here is this tool. Look at how my child is falling, you know, their score is. And it could just be a very good stepping stone or a conversation starter to start discussing PDA with the other people in your child's life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great tool to help you have some insight on your situation. Mm-hmm. And then Heather and I are both PDA certified trainers, and we do one-on-one support. And so if you are in the midst of navigating supporting PDA, we would love to come alongside you and support you in your journey. And if you're realizing actually the avoidance of my child is not PDA, but we are having avoidance, and how do we support it on that side? We're happy to come alongside you in that way as well, and to help. So we have a lot of great resources on our website, and you can contact us and reach out to us from there. And we're happy to connect with you and help you wherever you're at in your journey.
Yep. And just as an aside here, I think that I may have mentioned at the beginning introduction of this episode that we were going to discuss the difference between pathological demand avoidance and oppositional defiance disorder, but we had so many good things to say about the difference between, you know, autistic avoidance and pathological demand avoidance that I think we're just going to have to save the PDA versus ODD discussion for another episode.
Yeah,
because there's a lot to unpack there too.
there's so much to unpack there, and so make sure to subscribe so that you can continue to learn.
Hit the subscribe. I can say this. Hit the subscribe button. That little bell down in the YouTube.
Yes.
Little area.
Yeah. Yes.
Hit subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button and make sure to subscribe so that you'll know all the topics that we're going to discuss. There's a lot to talk about with PDA, and in future episodes, we will go over ODD. What is it? How is it different? We'll also be discussing, there's various other diagnoses that can be mistaken for PDA. There's also ones that can go together with it that gets very complicated for parents to pick through and to understand. And stay tuned, and we're going to help you walk through that with, our experience walking through it ourselves.
That's right. We will offer you, we won't hand you fire extinguishers.
No,
we will actually sit with you, and we will figure it out.
Yes. So, thank you for being here with us today.
Yep. Alrighty. Bye.